ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. Today's Diwali, Deepavali. It's also the verse on atonement. We can combine both. Diwali is the day where Lord Ram was enthroned. That means the success of Lord Krishna, basically. After 14 years, Krishna always succeeds. And in this verse, in the purport, Prabhupada speaks that we have two choices. Either we do the Kamakanda path of atonement, or we do go on the platform of Krishna consciousness. So both can be combined. So this is reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, and Text 7. Shishuka uvacha na chet iha eva apachitim yata amhasa kitasya kuryat manaha ukta pani bhi ಜುವಂ ಸಹ ವೈ ಕ್ವೆತ್ಯ ನಗಕನ್ ಉಪೈತಿ ಯೇ ಕೀರ್ತಿತ ಮೇ ಭವತಃ ತಿಗ್ಮಯಾತನಃ. ಶಿಶುಕ ಉವಾಚ ನ ಚೇದ್ಯೈವ ಪಚಿತಿಂ ಯತಹಂ ಹಸ ಹಿತಾಸ್ಯ ಕುಯಾನ್ ಮನೋಕ್ತ ಪಾನಿಭಿ ಜುವಾಂ ಸವೇ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ನಗಕಾನುಪೈತಿ ಏಕೀರ್ತಿತ ಮೇ ಭವತಃ ಸ್ತಿಗ್ಮಯಾತನಃ. ಶಿಶುಕ ಉವಾಚ ನ ಚೇದ್ಯೈವ ಪಚಿತಿಂ ಯತಹಂ ಹಸಃ ಹಿತಾಸ್ಯ ಕುಯಾನ್ ಮನೋಕ್ತ ಪಾನಿಭಿ ಜುವಾಂ ಸವೇ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ನಗಕಾನುಪೈತಿ ಏಕೀರ್ತಿತ ಮೇ ಭವತಃ ಸ್ತಿಗ್ಮಯಾತನಃ. ಶಿಶುಕ ಉವಾಚ ನ ಚೇದ್ಯೈವ ಪಚಿತಿಂ ಯತಹಂ ಹಸಃ ಹಿತಾಸ್ಯ ಕುಯಾನ್ ಮನೋಕ್ತ ಪಾನಿಭಿ ಜುವಾಂ ಸವೇ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ನಗಕಾನುಪೈತಿ ಏಕೀರ್ತಿತ ಮೇ ಭವತಃ ಸ್ತಿಗ್ಮಯಾತನಃ.
Mothers.
Shisuka Uvacha. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, within this life, eva, certainly, apachitim, counteraction, atonement, yatha, duly, amhasaha kritasya. When one has performed sinful activities, kuryat, performs, manaha, with the mind, ukta, words, panibi, and with the senses, duvam, undoubtedly, saha, that person, vai, indeed, pritya, after death, Nagakan, different varieties of hellish conditions. Upaiti, attains. Ye, which, kirtitaha, were already described. Me, by me, havataha, unto you. Tigma, yadanaha, in which there is very terrible suffering. Translation. Shukadev Goswami replied, my dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life, with his mind, words, body, are counteracted through proper atonement. According to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you, responsibly. Shukadev Goswami replied, my dear king, if before one next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life, with his mind, words, and body, are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioned that although Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee, Shukadev Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, text 26. Mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogane sevate sagunan samitite tan bhama bhuyaye kelpate. Devotional service is so strong that if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes fully to his devotional service, the reactions of his sinful life immediately stopped. Elsewhere in the Gita 18:66, Lord Krishna urges that one gives up all other duties and surrender to him. And he promises, Aham Tvam Savapabhibhyo Mokshayishyami, I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principle of bhakti. But to test Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to Kama Kanda, the path of fruitive activities. For Karmakanda, there are 80 authorized scriptures, such as Manu Samhita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract in sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive actions. Again, in these scriptures, one is advised to counteract his sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive actions. This was the path first recommended by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And actually, it is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. See what Prabhupada says? It is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. This is known as atonement. Aum Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Mitam Jena Smanashi Gaurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swada Parantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadada Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Vanchakal Paturubhyacha Kripa Sinyubhyayavacha Pachitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachatite Shtarine. There's a story that I heard from Sasrup Maharaj. He used to tell that story a few times. There was a boy in a school. He was very pranky. He was always doing mischief. He was never getting caught. Always doing something. For a long time, always doing pranks. Never getting caught. And one day, someone did a prank. He didn't do nothing. And the teacher said, "You did it." And he said, "No, no, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing." So the Prabhupada says, "Yeah, you didn't do anything now, but so many things you've done." So the reaction came down. There was, in the 90s, there's a Gujarati saintly person, his name is Murari Babu. So he came to Montreal. There was about 5,000 Indians who received him. And as ISKCON, we gave it, you know, maybe 10 minutes presentation. Not about him, but in general speech. So I was there for the lecture and someone was translating. So he told the story of one man who used to worship all the demigods. Every morning he was sure to worship all the demigods. And one day he went out and he got a ticket. So he was thinking, which demigod did I miss? I must have missed one demigod because I got a ticket. He was thinking, if I do the proper thing, then everything should be perfect. So then Mohi Babu said, just worship Lord Ramachandra. Because he's a bhakta, Lord Ramachandra. And this is what we preach. You just come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and then everything should be resolved. So when I was a child, and probably same thing for you, I was born from an Greek Orthodox background, but I was a lot with the Catholics. I was in a Catholic school. And I could never figure out atonement. You know, every Sunday you would go to Mass and then you would say your bad things. I never really understood why. And then I saw also that when people die before death, especially if they're prisoners, then the priest was very eager to make them atone. So I never understood why until I read Prabhupada's books. Because if you don't atone in this life, the next life you suffer so much. I mean, they lost the essence, the understanding, because they don't believe life after death. But in the Karmakandi section, it's basically Prabhupada says action and reaction, which is for every action there's an opposite equal reaction, which is actually the third law of Newton. For every action there's a corresponding of the same strength reaction. Everything you do, there'll be a reaction. So Prabhupada said that when you have a disease, you have to deal with it. You can't leave the disease go. So Prabhupada says, disease, fire, debt. You have to deal with it immediately. So what Prabhupada is saying is, if you did something wrong, deal with it right away. It's like in America, if you get a ticket and you don't pay for it, oh, the ticket goes up. There's so much surcharge. And then you can lose your license, you can go to jail. So if I don't deal with my ticket because I broke the law, if I don't go to the courthouse and pay, then I'll suffer so much. That's why Prabhupada is saying, if there's a disease, deal with it right away. So if you did a sinful activity, atone yourself right away. For every action, Basically, you have to do a punishable action. For every action I do, for every karma, I need another karma. So that at the end of your life, you have a clean plate. You have your balance have to equal out. That means you shouldn't, for every bad actions you did, you should have a atonement done for it. If not, then you'll suffer. Prabhupada says in the Gita, in this verse, where he explains that men are attracted to having relationship with many women, he explains that even on a royal road, there can be danger. You can have an accident. I mean, we see it with King Riga. You know King Riga? He became a lizard. So he was paka. Whatever he did was perfect. 100% perfect. But one day he gave the cow came back. He gave this cow to this Brahmin, the cow came back in his lot. So he's thinking, okay, let me give some cows. He gave the same cow. How the Brahmins found out, we don't know. But they found out. And they both came, you give the same cow to both of us. So he had to suffer. So Yamash told him, he says, there's a good and there's bad. You want to suffer the bad or the good? He said the bad. So he became this lizard. So Prabhupada says this Kamakanda is reality. At the end he does say that if you don't perform devotional service, then you have to do Kamakanda. You have to deal with your reactions to your activities. You do something bad, you have to deal with you have to nullify it. Because if you don't do, you're going to suffer tremendously. So Prabhupada speaks about a movement called the when he was in America, MRM. It was the Moral Rearmament Movement. So he said, the same way that we say the Sankirtan movement will destroy all your sinful reactions, the Moral Rearmament Movement said, if you atone, you'll destroy all your sinful reactions. And we had also in our days, probably still now, the born-again Christians. You preach to them, they say they saved already. Because they accepted Jesus in their hearts. Prabhupada used to say, Jesus Christ died for your sins, why are you giving him more sins? Because they think we've been saved, we've been atoned, we can do whatever we want. But Prabhupada says, one time, two time, okay. Someone asked Prabhupada, what does it mean unconsciously? You know, sometimes there's a fall down. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, if he falls down unconsciously by mistake, then he's not to be considered fallen. Yesterday you heard in the class. So they asked Prabhupada, what does it mean unconscious? He said, for example, you're in a room and everyone's smoking. And you used to smoke, and by mistake you take a cigarette and you smoke. That is unconscious. Like that, he explains. Unconsciously, not by mistake. So one time, two times. But after that, this is Raskuldam, Prabhupada says. So they thinking that I've atoned, I can do whatever I like. So the atonement process became cheap. If you follow the Kamakanda section, it's a lot of work. I've done, like for example, Prabhupada says, you have a cow, she's tied by the neck and she dies in the night. Well, there's an atonement for that too. All these books tell you for every action that you do, if it's bad, you have to do this to atone for it. Even positive things. For example, if you want to have nice education next life, you should build a school. The next life you'll have nice education. Everything is planned, everything explained. Krishna is perfect. It's like a book, an instruction book. I'm building something. You do this, you do that. You do this, you're going to do this thing. It's very, very clear. This is the atonement process. It tells you exactly what to do in any circumstances. But now it became cheap. So now, in relationship to us, there's the, what is it? Dharma Vata Tyag, Uttadi. Sarva Sukha Kriya. This is the eighth offense. So to consider the holy name as being auspicious activity. So Prabhupada says, yeah, the holy name is auspicious. But many times when people speak about auspicious, it's to destroy something impious, inauspicious. So obviously we don't openly think that I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm going to destroy my sins. But although in a letter to Hawaiian devotees, Prabhupada said that chanting Hare Krishna is your atonement. Meaning that when you chant, gradually you come to real knowledge. But to think that Prabhupada says, if I do sinful activities at night and the next morning I'm chanting and I'm thinking I'm okay, then that is sinful. Obviously we don't openly do this, but we have to be careful that unconsciously we don't think like this. I told you before, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving a class in Detroit during the GBC meeting, and he said, you see the new bhaktas, they're always running for Mangalati, they're chanting, they're working so hard, they're so enthusiastic. Now after many years we walk, we don't have the same enthusiasm. And he was explaining how you see how much advancement they're making, so fast, so much advancement. But as time passes by, we become a little complacent. Let's say that every year you lose 2% of your enthusiasm. So in 10 years, 20%. Imagine. So not consciously that we're thinking the holy name is going to destroy my inauspicious activities, but with time, and I can see for myself, I become complacent after 30, 31 years. I become complacent. I'm thinking, oh. And sometimes we may start thinking, yeah, I have an archers. I'll deal with them. But they're there. It's coming. But I'm not working hard, I'm not thinking. So in that sense, I'm thinking, well, I'm chanting, it's going to go, it's okay. So that, I think, is a danger for the devotees. Because to think that the holy name will destroy my... It's true, the holy name will destroy all sins. But to become slack or to become complacent, to be thinking that, oh, it's okay, I'm a devotee, I'm chanting, it's going to go away, then that is dangerous. Then gradually this can be considered as thinking, it's like an auspicious activity. I'm chanting, it will go away. It's true, I'm chanting, it will go away. But I have to change also. It's like if I'm on a boat, you know the story of the boat party, they were going all night, and the next morning they were in the same place. Because the anchor wasn't taken out. So every day we have to figure out, where am I on my course? Am I on course or I'm deviating? It's not because I've been in ISKCON for 20, 30, 40 years that I'm on course. I could be deviating. It's very subtle. Maya is extremely subtle. So always thinking, am I on course? Am I going in the right direction? Or am I just becoming complacent or lenient? Am I giving, just letting it go? Am I seeing, or I'm chanting, it's just like a ritual? So I think, at least personally, I think that's the danger for the devotees. That we're thinking, my chanting is atoning me, it's protecting me, it's saving me, but we're not really trying to advance more and more and more and more. Because after 10, 20 years, we should be very advanced. Actually, after 1, 2, 3 years, if we were so enthusiastic, we would have so much spiritual advancement. I'm speaking for myself. So much spiritual advancement. But we do become complacent. We take it a little bit sometimes as a ritual. So I think that's one of the dangers. Now, Prabhupada says that when you go on the platform of Krishna consciousness, you try, but you're not totally on the platform, your sins will go away. So you know that conversation with Haridas Thakur and Gopal Chappal. Prabhupada said he has such beautiful hands. And then he offended and then he got leprosy. So he was saying you don't need pure devotional service, just with Namabhas, all the sins will go. So Prabhupada says, and when you chant, they will all go. But because you're not on the Krishna conscious platform, you will fall again. And it will happen again. So then these things will happen by mistake. We'll go, we'll fall, we'll go, we'll fall. But we have to be careful that that doesn't become a complacency matter. That it's not that I've been doing for so long. So I think that's one of the dangers for the devotees. So this atonement process that is explained here is a bona fide atonement process. It's not that I'm atoning and it's bad, atonement is bad. Atonement is a process. And for everything that I do, I have to do. Even if someone gives you a donation, gives you money, you owe money, and you don't pay them back, you'll have to come back. Prabhupada said, you attach to one Rasgulla, you'll have to come back. Attachment is very powerful. On Sankirtan, long time ago, I met this man, and he said he had like 3 heart attacks. And every time he saw himself over the table, the surgery table. And I said, why didn't you go? Why didn't you just... Oh, he said, because I have so many things to do, I had to come back. So the Christians are thinking many times that, God doesn't want you to come. Krishna always wants you to come, and we don't want to go. We have the attachment, we don't want to give up. So this atonement process is basically to have a clean slate at the end of your life, and you don't go to the hellish planets. So then the other path that we follow is the path of surrendering to Krishna, coming on the highest platform. You know that story, Prabhupada, I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, how many pure devotees in ISKCON? Prabhupada said, how many devotees? 300 pure devotees. Because we're on the path. So as long as we sincerely with faith go on the path, then Krishna will protect. Because we were the big man, we were Krishna. Krishna can do anything. He's not attached. In the first canto, Prabhupada said that Krishna wants to be known as Bhakta Vatsal, the lover of his devotee. Because he protected Parikshit Maharaj. He broke his promise. He used his Sudarshan Chakra. So he said, Prabhupada explained that he wants to be known as Bhakta Vatsal more than a mundane moralist. Oh, I follow the moral, I didn't break my promise. So Krishna wants everything for us. He loves us so much, he'll do anything for us. He's just waiting for us to turn towards him. And we do the same thing. If there's an animal suffering on the ground, naturally we want to help. But we have to become the sparrow. You know that the sparrow, the bird story? The ocean stole the eggs, and the sparrow was so distressed, distraught, and told the ocean, I'm going to get my eggs back. And the ocean was laughing. She said, I'm going to just, with my beak, I'll just dry you out. And the ocean was laughing. Until Garuda came and said, I'll do it. I'll take on the task. And then the ocean gave back the eggs. So we like that. We have to develop that mood that, yes, fall downs may happen, mistakes will happen, but I don't want it to happen. And I know that if I serve Krishna sincerely, Krishna will always protect me. This is the faith that we have to have. There's one example I remember in 1985 or something, Japa Thakur Maharaj was in Ottawa. So he explained faith, and I thought it was a good example. If you walk on a bridge, and the bridge doesn't look very strong, so you put one foot, you try it, okay, looks good. Then your faith increases, then you try second foot, okay. Then your faith increases, you try third foot, third step. And as you go, your faith increases. So faith means that we experience. We experience Krishna's protection. We experience Krishna's love. We experience the association with devotees. And in this way, we can make advancement. On the memory tapes, there's a memory from Japa Thakur Maharaj where he says that Prabhupada was sitting on a very, very, I think in Mayapur, tall Vyasasan. And the whole class was, you have to be 100% Krishna conscious. But then at the end he says, even if you're 90%, Krishna will take you. And then he goes on speaking, and then he was thinking, he says, 80%. And then he goes down big Vyasan, big stairs, he turns around, he goes, then he turns around, devotees, 70%, Krishna will take you. So we don't have to bother, he'll take us, he won't take us, he'll take us. All we have to do is do the effort. You know that story, Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see Krishna, act in such a way that Krishna sees you. If you see in the story of Lord Kapiladev, devotee, she was asking so many questions, and then Kapila smiled at her. So Prabhupada said that, what else do you want if Krishna is smiling at you? You say, Krishna is smiling. So we want Krishna to smile at us. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to do the effort. Because in Kali Yuga, we all Kalashuddha Sambhava, we're all pretty quite low. And even Brahmins go to hell. If you read the Gita Mahatmya, a lot of these Brahmins, they do stuff, they go to hell. It's not you're a devotee, you're not going to go to hell. Imagine you don't have neck beads, your seeker's not there, you're not chanting Hare Krishna. How the Yamadutas is going to know? He told them, don't touch people who offer obeisances, who has neck beads, and tilak. So it doesn't mean we can have a visit. But if we have faith, and if we go on with faith, then Krishna will protect us in any circumstances. Like Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to America, he had so much trouble. I mean, there's a letter he wrote to Sumati Moraji where he said that, At that place I stay now, I can only cook once a day. And then at night I eat little fruits and milk, and then all night I'm starving so much. Then Achyutananda Prabhu gave another story. He says Prabhupada was staying in one apartment. There was a couple, so he had one bed, they had one bed. And he said sometimes, Prabhupada told them, they would not sleep at night, meaning they had a relationship. So Prabhupada had to tolerate so much. And at one point he wanted to go, and Sridhar Maharaj told him, either you die here, there, or you succeed. Because Sridhar Maharaj already had got a mandate from Bhaktisiddhanta to go, and he didn't go. So much struggle was there, but ultimately Krishna always succeeds. And that is what Diwali is. Diwali is Ram's success. He killed Ravana, Ram Vijay. And now he's coming to Ayodhya. And Bharat is so happy. that now my brother will become the king again. When he was exiled, he went to see him. He said, our father is dead, now you come back. But Ram was so dutiful. We can't even understand this concept of duty. No, I'll do the 14 years because my father told me to do it. It's okay, he's dead. The mother who told you to do it, she's okay with that. Come back. No, I have to do it. My father told me. So much duty. So now he's coming back and Ram is going on the throne. And that's the success. God has been successful. God has defeated the demons. And God is sitting on the throne. This is the inhabitants of Ayodhya are connected again with Lord Ram. In the same way that Dasharatha died when he was separated, in the same way that Balaram, father, passed away when he was separated. So much suffering they had, but now they reunited. Obviously on Diwali there's so many things happening, Govardhan's happening the next day, Narakasura was killed the day before, the pastime of Balimaj and Vamana happens around that time also. It seems that this is a day also that Mother Yashoda tied Krishna to the mortar. So many things are happening. And it's New Year's also for most Indian people. So Prabhupada said you do festival on Diwali and then on Anukut, on the Govardhan, then you do you hold the feast. So in ISKCON we don't do Diwali so much, we do Govardhan. But we can see it as a day, it's a proof how God succeeds. God will always succeed. So as long as we stay with Krishna, we stay with the process, we stay with the instruction of the spiritual master, even though it seems that it's going to be unsuccessful, it will always be successful. It is not possible. Listen, Prahlad, Narsingadev killed his father. He put a garland around the killer of his father. I mean, from a material perspective, this is immoral. Someone comes in your house, destroys the house, kills your father, and you put a garland on him, that's very immoral. But it's the greatest morality. So our connection is Krishna. This is our bearing. This is our equilibrium. The material is the equilibrium, is outside things. I have a house, I have a bank balance, I have kids. The bank balance goes away, ooh, losing equilibrium. My wife got in an accident, ooh. Oh, I was disfigured, ooh, balance. They lose everything, they're down on the floor. But the devotee, the whole thing, the whole world can explode, they're still straight. Because their bearing or their equilibrium is Krishna within their heart. So if we can just somewhere or another every day increase our faith, see Krishna. The main thing is the rounds. I know I've been in ISKCON for so long and still I'm not chanting good rounds. I mean even Sasrur Maharaj, he wrote this japa reform notebook. So many people are writing reform notebooks on japa. It's so difficult to chant. Just to say, okay, I'm just going to take 2 hours. Just 2 hours. Okay, I'll do 1 hour now, 1 hour in the afternoon, no problem. But when I chant, I'm just going to chant. It's so difficult. Because Maya is so tricky. So tricky. But so it starts with the rounds. If I can just chant good rounds, just sit, not doing anything else, not thinking anything else, just the rounds, then I can make it. This is the beginning of my faith. Because I'm telling Krishna, yes, trust. My Guru said, chant the rounds attentively. We promise that. That you chant not 16 rounds, but 16 good attentive rounds. That's what Prabhupada would make promise. 16 good rounds, not just 16. Prabhupada would do Isha, 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 Ram, 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 or something he would imitate. He would imitate like the mechanical chanting of someone. So everything starts. But if we have the faith that Krishna, today Krishna succeeded in Diwali, he's been enthroned. And we have not chosen the path of atonement. We have chosen the path of Krishna consciousness. We are on the right path. And if we determinedly follow that path by following just the basic instructions, then there will be success at any time. Somehow or another, if we can take everything Krishna gives us with a smile, and that's very difficult, whatever Krishna you give, yes Krishna, thank you Krishna. Yeah. You know, Indian people, yes, yes, yes. So whatever Krishna gives, yes, whatever Krishna you give. Then that will strengthen our determination and strengthen also, we will go above the modes of material nature. So just to summarize, today's Diwali, it's a very important day in the sense that Lord Ram was reinstated. And it's also understanding that the devotee don't follow the path of atonement in the sense of we want to destroy the root of material desires. That was the test. Shukadeva Goswami was testing King Parikshit in the same way that Ramananda Goy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya was always testing, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. And Ramananda goes one up, now give me more. Testing. What is the best thing? So we understand the best is Krishna, and sometimes we may become complacent. And that complacency may become an offense to the holy name, thinking, I'm chanting, it's okay. Chanting will save me. Then it becomes material. So we always have to have deep reverence for the holy name in any circumstance, and then Krishna will always support us. Hare Krishna. Any comment or questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Kitanagari Prabhu likes verses, so anytime you want to hear nice verses, you ask him to sing you a verse.
Thank you. Nice class. I'm wondering, I've never ever read the Manu Samhita or these Dharma Shastras that have to do with atonements. So the only atonement I know is chanting Hare Krishna and following the Four Regular Principles. I don't know what these other atonements are like. And I've always wondered, because I've read about them quite a bit, and I always wondered what actually they are. What are the ceremonial atonements that are mentioned in these shastras? For example, if you do a certain sin, do you have to fast? Do you have to whip yourself on the back? What is it that you actually have to do? Do you know at all?
No, I don't know. I just know that Prabhupada says the example, if I'm killing the animal, next life he will kill me. The cow is attached with a rope. Only few things I get. I don't know the Dharma Shastras.
Tell me that. What do you do? What is?
But we don't do these things.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
do you know what they are?
No, I don't know what they are. Anyone knows? All the Dharma Shastras who study this in class. The main thing is that you don't want to do something thinking that I can do it again. That is the mistake that we do, that we can do. Oh, it's okay, I'm chanting. That's when it becomes on the material platform. But atonement is chanting because it will bring you to real knowledge. That is real atonement, destroying the root of material desires. Any other question or comments? Thank you. Oh, yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that we can become complacent.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
We can become complacent in our devotional service. So how do we check that? How do we avoid becoming automatic?
Well, one is, first of all, you have to associate with devotees. I was listening to one of the memory tape, and Puri Maharaj, the younger one, was speaking about Prabhupada. And he says, everything comes from devotee mercy. He says, one guru, he will become guru because he has devotee acharya's mercy. He will fall down because he lost mercy. And he says, we have to get mercy from elder devotees, even little devotees. It's like a bank account. The more mercy you have, the more you become successful. So association is a primary factor. We have to associate with devotees who are eager to make spiritual advancement. If you associate with complacent devotees, then you'll become complacent. And two, you have to check. You have to do a conscious check every day. Like business people, what do they do? Every day they look, how much money I made today? They're counting, oh, I did $10. Today, tomorrow I want to make $15. So every day you have to think, how much more I want to advance? Tomorrow I want to advance. Did I make advancement? Did I go lower? We have to get out of here. We have to do it now. It's not that we're doing overtime. People say, oh, I have one little more time. But actually we are doing overtime in the mature world. We were reading last time, from the Gita Mahatmya, this lady, she was so sinful, she went for 10 million kalpas. And the hell of blood, urine, pus, and all this. And then she went 100 manvata in the Rogava. So one kalpa is one, was it life of Brahma? One life of Brahma. So 10 million lives of Brahma plus 100 manvata, she was one life in the material world. One life. Even if you just count 8,400,000 species, that's 8,400,000 years in the material world. So as animals, there's no karma, you're just going up. But as humans, you mess it up, then here she goes, she's go so many kalpas there, and then she comes back, she takes birth again as a low-class woman, she's doing the same thing. In the story, she's doing the same thing. So how many kalpas we've been here, we don't know. So the business is, we don't have time. And I know, I think I have time. Oh, I don't have time, I can die tomorrow. Prabhupada was discussing with his professor saying, oh, about death. She says, what is death? Death means, what is old age? Old age means going to die. He said, no. He said, he's young. If he dies before me, it's like old age because we're always associating old age with death. So we don't know. We really have to understand. I have to understand how long we've been here. That's why Prabhupada says, since time immemorial. We don't know how long we've been here. We've been here a long time. So we have to become conscious of our activities. So how not to become complacent, associate with devotees, and do a sincere check. The main thing is the morning program, the associate devotees, we cannot break on that. We really have to try to, especially in Mayapur, come to Mangalati, come to class, come to the program, listen to class at least from where we are if we can't. Try to associate with devotees as much as possible. Because if we don't do it, then we become, in that time, this complacency thinking, I'm okay. This is a disease, the I'm okay. It's a disease. Oh, it's okay. This is an American thing. It's impersonalist. It's okay. Everything's good. You know? Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji.
So,
yes, Prabhu.
So about this book you are mentioning, some of these characters of this Gita Mahatmya were doing chanting just a quarter of a verse, and sometimes even unknowingly, and they got rid of so many sins. Actually, they were qualified for liberation. But most of the devotees here or in ISKCON, we are regularly performing, like reading scripture and chanting and participating in the programs, consciously or maybe inattentively, but we do it. So how is that purifying of our sins?
Chanting and the reading, you're speaking?
Oh, everything we do. Because in this Gita Mahatmya, somebody was doing it unconsciously, like one quarter of a verse, and was qualified for liberation.
I'm so sorry, Prabhu, because it's not loud enough. What is the last part?
Sometimes, like in this Gita Mahatmya,
yes.
One person, he was chanting a quarter of a verse of one sloka.
Yes.
And was qualified for liberation,
yes.
And he did it unconsciously.
Yes.
Now, you saying we are doing devotional service 10, 20, 30 years, maybe not all the time attentively, but we do it. How is that purifying us from sinful reactions?
Or from, well,
yeah.
I mean, there's a story that, what's his name? Mahamantra. What's his name? Mahamantra Prabhu, Sannyas. Anyways, he gives that story that this man, he was very sinful, the Yamadutas went for him, and when he saw the Yamadutas, he fainted and he fell on a tulsi plant. So the Yamadutas were just waiting. They couldn't take him because he was on the tulsi plant. So when he woke up, he got out of the tulsi plant and he got saved. I mean, the Yamadutas took him and to hell. So if I understand your question properly, is how all the activities we do purifies us from sin? Is that what you're saying? Okay. So the first thing is we don't think that it's purifying sin, but everything you do in devotional service is pure. We all, every time we touch something spiritual, we get free from sinful reactions immediately. That it be tulsi, that it be charanamrita, that it be looking at the deities. We are in an environment that frees us all the time from sinful reactions. The problem is that when we do more things that bring us more in sinful reaction, and because if we do it consciously, then at that time the effect becomes minimal. Because Krishna is in the heart already, but he doesn't appear in a dirty heart. So whatever you do ultimately will purify you all the time. The problem is we're getting dirty all the time. That's the way I conceive it. I don't know if it answers your question. What do you think? You tell me.
So what you're saying is that whatever we do, like a regular ISKCON devotee will be purified because so many activities he's doing. But because he might consciously or unconsciously commit sin, then again he'll be loaded with a lot of sinful, and he has to, like a baiting of an elephant, you say. So it's still no use.
No, what is no use? Prabhupada makes a statement that as long as you're not on the pure platform, you'll do the activity again. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, if you don't have a higher taste, then you'll go for the lower taste. So as we're advancing, we can give up lower taste more and more and more and more. It's like Jad Bharat, he was on the Bhava platform, but there was still something there, and he got caught. He was attached to that deer, and he became a deer. So even though he was on the Bhava platform, Prabhupada says in one purport, there was little karma left there. There was something there. Everything we do is useful, because nothing gets lost, whatever we do. So nothing's useless. It's not because you're getting dirty again. We don't try to get purified. Our business is not to get purified. Our business is to love Krishna. That's all we want. Our business is not to say, oh, I'm doing this. We're not kamakandis. I'm doing this, I'm getting free from that sin. My business is, I want to learn how to love Krishna. Does it make sense? No?
Yes, it makes sense. Of course, the best course to become a pure devotee.
That's no, I'm not saying pure devotee, but I'm saying as we're advancing, our business should be first duty. Duty, duty. The whole Gita means duty. Do this, do this, do that. If we do the duty, we come to Brahma-Bhuta. When you come to Brahma-Bhuta, you go over the clouds, then you can start devotional service. The problem, we can't even fix our mind on duty many times. We don't get up in the morning, we don't do this, we don't do that, because we can't fix the mind. When we come to the stage of being able in any circumstances to do our duty, you come to Brahma-Bhuta, then devotional service can start, because you're not on the platform of the mind. So it's not that you have to be a pure devotee to love Krishna, but our business, we want just to serve the Guru and Krishna. That He's so kind to me, out of love for Him I want to do, and this will save us. I'm not sure I'm answering your question, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry. Thank you very much everyone, all goes to Prabhupada.